want to leverage her power to our government once again, one day in the future, hopefully. I'll leave you on that.
Yeah, and we are out of time. Nicole Cardi is a political strategist and movement organizer. Read her recent article for The Intercept that is the base for our conversation, How to Fortify Against the Trump Agenda While There's Still Time. Thank you so much, Nicole, and we'll be talking again, I hope.
Yeah, really nice to be here. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And thanks to Jade and Summer and Lainey. Thank you for making me a cup of tea. I'm sick. Thank you for listening. We'll be talking again next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WORT Madison.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
In My Arms. Hi, this is Mel. I got through myself off.
The man. Drugs catching up or something? What's going on?
Hi, everybody. Let me tell you a couple things.
All right, go ahead.
No, I'm Mel. It's the Mel and Floyd Show. This is Marty Pants here.
Hey.
Hi.
How's it going?
Oh, great. How you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Hanging in there. Just like the rest of us.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, hey, I saw a headline this week. And I had to, it really attracted my attention.
Yes.
I had to open the paper. The headline was, Trump tells GOP to kill a reporter. And then I opened it, it's like, oh, reporter's shield bill. Almost believed it there for a minute. I was like, wait, is there more? There, maybe there's not. I don't know. That's well, where we are right now.
Well, these people who railed about weaponizing the government and the
weaponizing it in the wrong way
are surprised doing that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. There's bipartisan legislation that was it was the congressional Republicans said this is called the exploitative. Was it protect? I hate these acronyms, but here's the thing.
It's
called
press,
the Protect.
Right?
Yeah. Reporters from the Exploitative State Spying Act or Press Act. And it's already passed the House, and so it's going to the Senate, and basically Republicans. So he put on his social media platform, a Republican giant capital.
Kill the press.
Yeah, Republicans must kill this bill. And then they were like, whose bill?
All right.
All right. Yeah, aye, aye, sir.
You want him to die slowly quickly?
Yeah. So. Or Marjorie Taylor Greene will get on the job and he'll die of disgust.
She's part of the efficiency committee.
How many people do they need on that efficiency committee? That's what I want to know. So Chris, before the show, I was chatting with him, and he was saying he says I don't know if the jackboots are ready yet because they're having a hard time tying up their laces, which is what I think that's the best thing we can hope for is that they'll have problems with the laces.
Tie them together,
yeah, exactly.
So, fall on their face.
We'll just see.
I know that's our only hope is incompetence and petty infighting.
I'm betting on that too.
Yeah, because that's always a good one. You know, when you get the crabs in a bucket kind of thing.
Yeah, if he's the king or whatever, then of course there'll be everybody at the court will be viciously fighting with one another.
Plus he's 78 and probably not in great health. So there's
dare you say that about the leader?
They're already he's going to live to be 200.
Of course, yes.
But after that, they're kind of trying to.
Jockeying for position.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So,
but, where's JD these days?
I haven't heard much from him. So, they have to pick a corrupt sex offender from Ohio now to take his place.
I think that's the whole thing with the Matt Gaetz, and this is not an original observation, obviously, but it's kind of like, oh well, that was the outer limit. well, great. So now everybody's like, well, you know, no matter what kind of crazy person he puts up there, they're going to be like, well, at least he's not Matt Gaetz.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, so, all right. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, going way back in the Wayback Machine.
Oh, yeah.
When Robert Bork was nominated.
Excuse me.
And he's immortalized in The Simpsons because they have that guy with the little,
oh, yeah,
little,
yeah,
Bork beard. But he got rejected, and yeah, like people on the lefties and the, yeah, Democrats were celebrating, yeah, and then so they replaced him with another nominee,
yeah,
Scalia.
You know, I remember I read an article about Bork a few years ago that he had been considered several times before,
yeah,
he,
yeah,
was actually. I mean, he was always in the background, and then Reagan was kind of like, "Ah, he's too crazy. I don't know, you know, it's like, even for me, you know, handlers, what do I do?"
Wow.
But you know, yeah, it's kind of. So I noticed that that Trump's margin is of victory is shrinking every day. Have you
it's
noticed
got shrinkage?
That?
Huh?
Yeah, it's got some shrinkage.
He been in the pool? Or
yeah,
what?
I don't know. But yeah, it's now below 50%. So only 49.9999% of the population is insane. So that's good to know. Makes the odds slightly bit better, you know.
I'm not getting sucked into any of these articles like analyzing this,
yeah,
and that. It's
no,
like people were just dumb and low, yeah, information.
The problem,
I'm sorry, and mean.
Well,
I think racist.
Well,
and sexist. Okay, I'm done.
Put it all in. But here's, I mean, I'm not going to give anybody a break on this, but I just do want to say this: when you have only two options, which is basically how the system's set up, and it's dyadic, you don't know what the message is.
Yeah.
You really don't know what's causing it. I mean, there's just too many things, and as you say, there's a residuum of people that either did not want to participate, that affects it, or just wanted to vote no, just wanted to push the ejector button.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that. If that's one of those people, I get it. But I mean, but we don't know what it means. We don't know what it means overall, because
yeah,
it's like when they did polls, they do polls on different, you know, policies, and you
yeah,
have, oh, you know, 80% of people are against it. Yeah. 40% for one reason and 40% for another reason. You know,
it's, well, like these,
you don't know what that means.
I always love it when they do the polls and say, do you think the country's headed in the right direction?
Yeah.
Well, I would say no.
Yeah, me too.
But then like, you know, the head of the Ku Klux Klan would probably
yeah,
say no
yeah,
as well
yeah,
for,
yeah,
for totally
not different, enough Christian. Yeah.
Right?
It's like too much Christian.
But I mean, we've already seen people like, days after the election,
yeah,
you know, complaining about, oh, why is he doing this? And, you know, and, yeah, you know, people who were upset about the Middle East and
yeah,
then seeing, you know, him cozying up with Netanyahu. It's like,
well, duh.
Well, duh.
He moved the embassy to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Or people who, you know, whose big issue was inflation.
Yeah.
And they voted for the guy who's going to put like a 10% or 20% yeah, tax on everything.
Yes, the vice president tried to make that point, but apparently it was not evident to people. At any rate. Yeah, and I know. And then there's this whole thing about, oh, people that, you know, that are Democrats are snobby and they think they know everything. What? You think the people on the other side don't think that? Come on. I mean.
Oh, no. You and I both grew up with those people.
Yes. I don't know nothing about nothing, but here's the truth about everything.
I spend 8 hours a day in this bar stool, but,
yeah,
but, yeah, but let me tell you a few things.
Ride that bar stool. Cool, buddy.
But you know, it's I mean, just there's stories this week that a lot of people said they voted for Trump because they would get stimulus checks this before Christmas. There's so much wrong with that.
I got your stimulus right here. Says Matt Gaetz.
He withdrew, which is not,
yes,
like,
he did,
not like him.
One tiny thing we can say in his favor, at least he withdrew.
I love seeing, they had some of the receipts from some
yeah,
of the, his
oh,
transactions.
Lord. Oh,
and I love the little notes on them. It was like
unsavory jerk.
Like tuition reimbursement.
Ugh, ugh.
And just one of them just said, happy joy or something
yeah,
ridiculous like that.
Well, I'm sure you've heard these stories. I mean, ever since Trump, quote unquote, you know, won, we were seeing all these people that are kind of like, I mean, this is to support your analysis, waves of offensive text messages and emails
yeah,
going out to people who have been identified as Hispanic or LGBTQ. This is from the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of racist texts that were sent out to black people right after the election. We're also seeing like displays of white power neo-Nazi groups, including in the place where I was born, Columbus, Ohio. There was a giant, there was a neo-Nazi, you know, basically rally there. People carrying Nazi flags and shouting racial slurs. I thought the Nazis were bad. I thought we all knew that. I mean, they're not even trying to hide it anymore. So they had basically like a flash mob that showed up in Columbus. And, you know, they were carrying swastikas and so on. And this is what, I mean, yay, we won, say these people. Oh, you give all. So, yeah, and this is according to the Anti-Defamation League. There have been many, many incidents that have occurred since the election. Basically, people feeling empowered now to articulate a point of view, which I think really does qualify as a fascist point of view, whether it's irrelevant in a sense, whether, you know, Trump is that or a mafia don or however you want to categorize him, because the people who are thinking those things definitely feel empowered by him.
Yeah. I read a story about a kid who was getting bullied in high school. They were a Native American.
Yeah.
And the white supremacist bullies were telling them that they should go back to where they came from.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So.
What, like the Bering Straits?
Yes, yeah, right. Siberia? Is that what you're thinking? So more Idiocracy, as you were saying before the show started.
Now, in the movie Idiocracy,
yes,
their president was a former pro wrestler.
Sure.
Played by Terry Crews.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would fire off a machine gun during the State of the Union and stuff.
Yeah.
And so now we have if she gets confirmed, is the head of the Department of Education will have been one of the founders and CEOs of the World Wrestling Association or Enterprise or whatever it's called.
Is it World Wrestling Entertainment?
Entertainment. It's WWE.
Yeah.
There used to be WWF, but then there was a World Wildlife Fund.
Yeah.
And they had like a little...
They had a slap down.
They had a cage match to decide who would win.
You or the hippo.
Those
hippos.
The Wildlife Fund sent a grizzly to the cage match. So that helped. Yeah, so they actually got to
I think that, you know, this is the thing you have to say about the dear leader, is that he's flamboyant and he's evil. You know what I mean? It's like, if you are a person who's in the field of education, having the person who's the head of the wrestling federation...
Right.
As the, I mean, there's a certain, especially sadistic, you know, component to that.
Here's what
that you really got to appreciate.
We don't need no education.
Yeah. Well, you were saying, be able to count to three.
Yeah, one, two, three, you're out.
Exactly. Oh, you go all.
So Melania is. She doesn't want to get left behind in all this grifting. And so she apparently has renegotiated her prenup with for the third time.
Good on her.
So you can rest assured that we will have a first lady who will be contractually obligated to show up to certain events.
So I think right away, of course, of the ancient Roman Empress Livia, who was the wife of Augustus. Makes me wonder whether JD and Melania have created a little pact. Does it say anything about Trump's demise in
I'm not familiar with the story.
Oh, here. Poison Trump.
Yeah.
It would be. And,
did they poison Augustus?
No, they didn't. But they poisoned. Basically, she was thought, this was probably not true, actually. It was the standing story at the time, is that there were various rivals that would succeed Augustus, and she wanted her son Tiberius be the, and so
James Tiberius Kirk.
Yes, exactly. So unusual things happened to various contenders along the way that was unexpected, and you know they didn't like die in battle or fall off of a Colosseum or anything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, what's going on with that? You know,
it's like, kind of like in Russia when you fall out a window.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
A lot of people fall out windows there. So
yeah, it's the thing to do.
Yeah. So yeah, Melania's had to renegotiate her prenup.
Did they have any details? I'd be curious.
I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of details in this story.
More for me. you're looking online right now, and I must say that image of her is, she looks jubilant to be standing next to the president of the United States, doesn't she?
I can see the lasers coming out of her eyes.
Yeah. Well, you know what's even more frightening than when she has that look on her face, that sour...
The smile.
Is when she smiles. Yeah. It's like, ah! Don't do that. Stop. any rate.
So, the new guy who's going to be running commerce, apparently, he wants to continue mining in Minnesota, and he dismisses any environmental concerns.
Yeah.
That's a big deal, because they're talking about trying to open up the Boundary Waters or the Voyagers area up there, too. You know, they'll do it with some limited mining.
Yeah. That's how it gets started.
Yeah, exactly. So, just the tip.
Oof. Well, let's see. What's some things that are going on? Well, let me just... Thanksgiving's coming up, of course, next week. And I just want to mention, we have saw an article this week from our friend of the show, Samara Kalk Derby, and she was talking about places you can go to get a free Thanksgiving dinner.
This was very
in
nice.
The Wisconsin State Journal this week. And she said that there's a couple of free community meals. Let's see. There's at least five local options that you have available. Delta Beer Lab, which is in Fitchburg, is holding a community Thanksgiving dinner from 1 to 7 p.m. And that's the day before. That's Thanksgiving Day, right? Let's see. And food will be served from 3 to 5. And the first 150 people to call or register through Eventbrite will be the first in line for food. Let's see, Slices Bar and Grill on Pennsylvania Avenue. I don't know if you've ever been over there. That's they're having a buffet and carry out. And you can call them up to reserve a meal. And then the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Madison, which is on University Avenue, is also offering a traditional Thanksgiving Day meal. So look into this if you are so minded. And all those places, of course, are... requesting volunteers to help out. So if you would also like to do something meaningful for your Thanksgiving and to help your fellow human being, check around. I'm sure it's easy to find online, but thanks to Samara, for putting that in the paper. And,
oh, very cool.
Yeah, so volunteer, or if you are a person who needs to have or desires to have a free Thanksgiving meal, there are places in town to go. So.
Okay. We're also celebrating Native American Heritage Month.
Okay.
And there are a few things going on. Well, you can probably just ask your phone, but I'll list a few of them here. Tomorrow, the Southeast Oneida Social Services will host a Native American Heritage Celebration featuring a presentation on language revitalization. And also on Saturday, the Shawano High School will host a powwow. This Tuesday, the Gerald L. Ignace Indian Health Center will host a community harvest festival. On Wednesday, the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa, will host Nugis Giving Feast. Have you heard of that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. I don't know. But and on next Wednesday, the 27th, the Ho-Chunk Nation will hold a Happy Ho-Chunk Day with the bingo at 1 p.m.
I love alliteration.
Yeah.
Happy Ho-Chunk Day.
I do, too. Yeah, so anyway, and I'm sure there's lots more, but I just want to mention a few of those.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, thank you. So.
Oh, what else we got here? Science. Should we do some science?
Yeah, do some science.
Science has found that there are two ages when humans have sharp peaks in aging.
Okay.
Like where you kind of start to fall off the cliff a couple of times.
I think I may know one of them.
Of course, if you fall off a cliff, then it's kind of irrelevant. But
yeah.
No, one is at the age of 44.
44?
Yeah, and the other one is the age of 60.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, in the mid-40s is a time of drastic change, as is the early 60s. And that's true no matter... What class of molecules you look at? They're not looking at humans; they're just looking at the molecules. But
wow, humans uninteresting. Molecules, no, that's where the action is. They're just big old bunches of molecules.
Yeah, they're just looking at the molecules.
It's strange that they say. I don't feel that. But I have a theory about my own aging that I seem to be going along pretty well.
Yeah.
And I just have a feeling it's going to be like those vampire movies, you know, where right before I die, I'm just going to like,
you know, kind of like dust,
yeah, turn to dust. Yeah. It's all going to catch up with me all at once.
Well, the mid-40s showed changes in these molecules related to the metabolism of lipids, caffeine, and alcohol, as well as cardiovascular disease and dysfunctions in skin and muscles.
Oh, well.
The early 60s peak was associated with carbohydrate and caffeine metabolism, cardiovascular disease, skin and muscle, immune regulation, and kidney function.
Hmm.
So that's when you start to fall apart. Mid 40s, and then when you're 60.
Nature pretty much is like, we're done with you.
What, you can't reproduce anymore?
Yeah, that's it. Bye.
You're no good to us.
Well, that's the thing that's weird when you have like a pet, like you have a cat or something.
Yeah.
You know, you have a cat that lives to be a fairly old age. I mean, most of its life with you is it's an elderly cat, right? And you're sustaining it against all, you know, all odds, basically, which is fine. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying do anything else, but it just the realization that if this creature were to be left to its own devices, it probably lived about, you know, 7, 8, maybe 9 years old or something.
Yeah,
and
we're
just prolonging things. Speaking of which, Wisconsin hunters killed 4,285 bears this fall.
Bears.
Yeah, that's up from the 2023 bear hunting season by 47%. So last year they killed 2,922, so almost 3,000.
How many hunters did the bears kill?
Yeah, I know. Support your right to our bears. About 135,000 people applied for bear hunting licenses. They don't say what percentage are fibs, so I'm not sure here, but got to check that one
out.
How
many molecules?
But they had preference points for the season, and then there's some 11,000 licenses were awarded through a lottery. They have a lottery system for this, and the hunter success rate were generally higher than expected. That was part of it. So a lot of people signed up, and a lot of people were better at it apparently. So statewide hunter success was about 37%, which is up from a 5-year average of around 31%. Wisconsin has about 23,000 bears. I didn't know that. And they claim, this is what the DNR says.
Mostly in Milwaukee.
give out the licenses. They say that bear hunting helps manage the population and reduce agricultural crop damage. Or as the bears would say, eating possibilities.
Food.
Yeah, food. And other things. So that's what's going on with the bear bears. Population.
They should make them hunt bears with bow and arrow, I think.
I think that'd be great.
That would be much more challenging.
I would think. But maybe not as...
And a little more even.
Well, maybe. But unfortunately, you might also have a lot of wounded bears walking around with arrows in them.
That's true.
So. Yeah, so... I've been watching. I don't know if I told you this last week, but I made the mistake of... You know, I just watch YouTube like everybody else. And if something is interesting, I click on it. And I clicked on this one YouTube... combat between a hippo and a crocodile.
Yeah.
And was it a crocodile or an alligator? I think it was a crocodile. Yeah, a crocodile. And the hippo just, you know, mopped the floor with that crocodile, as you might imagine. It was no muss, no fuss. And so now, because I clicked on it, and apparently, like, my eyes were attached to it for a while, and the electronics.
Oh, we got some eyeballs.
Yeah, we got some eyeballs here. I'm getting nothing but, first of all, nothing but hippos. Hippos fighting various things. Hippos fighting rhinos. Hippos fighting, lots of hippos mobbing a crocodile.
Did you get the one with the hippo fighting Mike Tyson?
It did not get that.
Oh, okay, that's a good one.
That hippo had a lot of tattoos on it. But no, it's kind of amazing because hippos don't take any fuss from people. They just
But they've got such good PR because people think of them as kind of cuddly.
Oh, no, they're awful.
Yeah, they're
really territorial
mean.
And they're mean. And yeah, I mean, it's really bad. Mm-hmm. But I had to say, it was one of the few times I've ever felt sorry for a crocodile. They had one where the crocodile was in like a mud hole or whatever, and the hippos noticed it was there and looked like, what the heck? You know, and there was like 40 hippos just mobbed the poor thing. They threw it in the air, and it was
really
like, he's trying to get out of there. I was like, oh, you poor crocodile.
Playing croc toss.
Yeah, exactly. So now I'm getting, now it's broadening because I've watched enough of there apparently aren't enough hippo hippos attacking things,
sure.
videos on YouTube. So if you want to generate some new content, I can tell you where to go. But anyway, but now I'm getting all animals fighting with things. So
yeah,
now I'm
sure.
elephants, you know, and things like that. So it just shows you, before I know it, I'm going to be totally radicalized into the animal fighting genre. Yeah. It's clear I'm being led down a primrose path of all animal hostility viewing.
You're going to come in here like with a club and a loincloth.
Yes, ready to go. Yeah. The hippo is my totemic animal now.
Oh, could be, yeah. So everybody loves the baby hippo because it's cute.
It's adorable, yeah.
And it's like nibbling on people, which is not...
Well, this is why they get hostile, because apparently, this is, you know, if you know more about it, feel free to keep it to yourself. But apparently baby hippos are yummy and fairly helpless. And so the large hippos, I mean, the reason why they're so aggressive, obviously, around crocodiles is because the crocodiles can't attack an adult, but
yeah.
they can
oh, sure.
munch on the little ones.
Sure.
So
yeah,
they're, it's a defense reaction for
yeah,
that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Long time ago, when I first got like a streaming service, it was Netflix or something, and the show I wanted to watch the show Weeds,
yeah,
which was it was a Showtime program about a suburban housewife whose husband dies, and then she makes ends meet by selling pot.
Okay,
and you know, and whatever.
It's an American success story.
Yeah. So I watched that series, and then like every recommendation after that had to do with marijuana. And it's like, no, I didn't watch the show because it was about marijuana.
Mel, I got to tell you, the scariest one I ever got like that was I was going through a phase where I was really interested in Dutch films, Dutch language films. And there's a film that came out, it must have been in the 90s, Soldat. And it was about a little boy who has a crush on this Canadian soldier who helps liberate the Netherlands from the Nazis. So it's a World War II movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes beyond just like platonic. And there's actually, there's simulated sex in it. And I was like, oh, dear Lord. You know?
Right, right.
Like, Amazon was giving me like,
oh, no.
Yeah, these like related films. They didn't notice the Dutch part. They only, you know, I'm looking at like 87 Dutch films. But one thing that you noticed was this one that I checked on had this theme. I was really worried. I thought, oh, my God.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like now I'm pegged. Fortunately, that was years ago. So, you know, it's all gone away
somewhere.
Since then. Yeah. But it was really scary. Like which component. You know, was basically of the search that the algorithm apparently grabbed onto,
wow.
and that was the most salient one. Not the Dutch language part. Apparently, that was not interesting to the thing. Now, a Dutch speaking, hippo. That would be. I'd be all in on that.
And the wooden shoes would be adorable yeah, on it.
On a hippo, come on.
So, here's a study. 54% of Alabama men pick McDonald's for their first date.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Well, that's because they're dating.
That's actually 49.99%. Yeah.
That's because that way their date doesn't have to get out of their complicated car seat.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh. Well, that was, of course, that was another, ritual of humiliation that you probably saw was the president to be forcing Brainworm to have some McDonald's on his plane.
Yeah, I saw that. So it was reminiscent of the first time he got elected and Mitt Romney was kind of sniffing around for a Secretary of State job and they had dinner and it looked like something out of Game of Thrones, you know, where Mitt was just kind of going, eh.
Yeah. Well, here's someone who doesn't want me to feel sorry for the crocodile. And now that I know this, it makes total sense. So it wasn't that the crocodile could have potentially been a problem, but what this person who apparently is also on the hippopotamus list says, what you didn't see was the video before where the crocodile killed a young hippopotamus.
Aww.
And that's when the hippos went wild. So, okay, I did not see
that. You gotta look at the whole.
Yeah, you gotta look at it in context,
in
as Nixon
context.
Would say. By the way, I was looking at the newspaper from 50 years ago, which just to let people know that in 1974, 50 years ago, this election, which fell on the same day and date, by the way, because in 50 years, the calendar wakes up, was the Democratic sweep. They got supermajorities in the House and the Senate and majority of governorships and so on. Mm. So it was exactly the opposite of what just happened here 50 years later. Yeah. But one of the things that came out in the newspaper I was reading from 50 years ago was that they finally had the actual tapes. Because the Supreme Court had ruled 8-0 that that Nixon had to turn over the tapes. Mm-hmm. And they found out that the edited transcripts that he was giving them, not only were the swear words pretty intense that he had redacted out, but there was huge portions of what they talked about that weren't not in the, you know. So it was obvious. It was obvious, A, that he was doing bad things, but just the fact that the actual tape showed that there was a bunch of stuff he edited out that made him look bad showed that he knew he was doing something bad. So.
Right.
So that finally came to public awareness 50 years ago.
Hey, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is going to be moving.
Oh, well.
And so they're taking bids to demolish their current,
to the Dark Tower.
The Dark Tower. So I think they can probably get people to do it for free. I know several people who would.
And that's the best way they like to do things.
Until they find out it's going to be empty when they move them up.
So they're on East Washington right
now. 501 East Wash.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure where they're moving to, but
Mordor. They got everything they want. What more do they want? Come on, I don't know.
Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WORTFM.org. You could be listening using the WRT app, which is free and works really well. I was just using it yesterday to listen to some shows. It's really nice.
I was amazed how many people listen to us in other parts of the country.
Yeah, that's nice.
We had that when we did the live call-in show a couple weeks ago. There were people calling from all over the place.
Yeah,
it
was
very,
sweet.
Very gratifying.
Yeah, we had somebody from Massachusetts and I forget where else.
All over. Yeah, it was great.
But also thanks to Mindless Meaning D-Cubed, who does the file management, and that makes this show available on places like Spotify and iTunes for your podcast pleasure. So, all right, we're going to take a brief break, play some announcements, and come back. You got anything good?
I got dark energy. I got penguins on the run. Trust in science is rising in the U.S.
Oh, very good.
So. That's an unexpected thing.
And I've got sauerkraut and potatoes.
Excellent.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
Or tired.
Tune in Thanksgiving morning from 9:05 until noon for the return of the folk anarchist and Cooking with the Tall Guy, a veritable cornucopia of tasty tunes designed to feed your soul, along with the 57th annual presentation of Alice's Restaurant Massacre. You can get almost anything you want at listener-sponsored community radio WORT-FM, Madison, Wisconsin.
All right now. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Accepting Alice. You can get anything you want.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Union Cab of Madison. Union Cab is seeking drivers to join their member-owned collective, formed in 1979. Those interested in a position with flexible scheduling, benefits, and a democratic employee-owned work environment can find more information at unioncab.com or by calling 608-242-2000.
Goose-step mama on the cover charge. Goose-step mama taken by and large. While you tinker with some tailor, someone sold you to a sailor. Goose-step mama, oh yeah. Goose-step mama, goose-step mama, boogie all night long. Goose-step mama, you can do no wrong.
And that's the Ruddles.
Goose-step mama. Oh my God. I think I saw her at the Republican National Convention.
She was just waving.
Yeah, was that a wave? Okay, all right. I wasn't sure. Her arm looked a little stiff. I was not sure.
So. Oh, Texas Governor Abbott has kindly offered a patch of land. I think it's hundreds of thousands of acres to use for a concentration camp. Detention area.
Oh, yeah,
they're trying to step right up.
And, yeah, well. Hey, here's some good news. After decades of unrelenting increases, rates of sexually transmitted infections are slowing down.
Really?
Still increasing, but not quite as fast. So diagnoses of gonorrhea went down for all age groups last year. And new cases of syphilis and chlamydia are about the same. So that's... But this data was released on Tuesday from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Is there still an epidemic among the boomers? You always see stories about
that's what's driving it, I guess.
Like in Florida, the big the living areas where they all kind of party with each other.
Yeah. So I mean the trends do differ from age group and region as you observe. Half of the new STIs in 2023 were in adolescents and young adults.
Oh, really?
Age 15 to 24.
Oh, okay.
So it was not among the boomer population.
That's not good.
The number of syphilis cases decreased by less than 5% in the South, but they decreased by about 15 to 18% in the West and the Northeast. So the South is still not... It's not going down as quickly there, but of course, their public health systems are poorly funded, and people don't always have a regular physician or know exactly what's going on.
Well, there's also an educational component, too, where they don't want to talk about that dirty SEX stuff.
Yeah. Well, only if it's done right. A shot of penicillin, a single shot during pregnancy, can prevent death or disability from congenital syphilis. And one of the sad things that a lot of the cases that have been coming up have been infants who have syphilis at birth. And according to Dr. Ina Park, she's an STI expert at the University of California in San Francisco, and you can say this about a lot of things. There is absolutely no reason a baby should be dying of syphilis in 2024.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Welcome to the U.S.
One of the world's leading producers of sauerkraut is moving its headquarters to Wisconsin and expanding the manufacturing operations in the state.
I'm so excited.
With help from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation.
All right.
It'll create 60 high-paying jobs. In
the sauerkraut-related industry. They're all marketing jobs.
Please eat this stuff.
We beg you.
No, they're going to be moving to Madison, so we'll have... Have
60... Ooh, sauerkraut capital. 60
big sauerkrauts coming to town here, so...
Yeah, well... Goose step mama. Those sauerkrauts. They're terrible.
No, they're dead.
So where are they moving from?
I'm not sure.
What place is being like krautless now? That's, I feel sorry for them.
Yeah, Michael Moore can do a documentary on them. Not quite related Newt, but a food related thing.
Yeah.
Alleged potato cartel accused of conspiring to raise price of frozen fries and tater tots.
What?
Across the U.S.
There's a potato cartel?
Big Potato is ripping us off here. Four companies currently dominating the multi-billion dollar market in the U.S. are being accused of sharing detailed, sensitive, inside information with each other as part of an alleged conspiracy to raise the price.
Now that sounds dirty.
Yeah. Bring the potato. The two proposed class action suits were filed this week so
they're colluding.
They're colluding.
They don't just have common incidental interests. They're actually coordinating their activities.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. McCain Foods, Cavendish Farms, Lamb Weston, and J.R. Simplot.
So, I've never heard of any of those.
No, companies. I mean, well, they you know, Big Potato doesn't they like to stay out of the
they're underground.
The limelight.
Yeah,
<right. laughs>
that Big Potato's underground.
They don't like having eyes on them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They're on YouTuber, though, if you want to see that. But, So Big Potato is ripping us off. You weren't even going to acknowledge that, were you?
Hey, for the first time since the start of the pandemic,
yes,
the public's trust in scientists has actually gone up.
Really?
Not by a lot. It's kind of like the rates of syphilis, you know. It's just a little tiny bit. But this is according to a survey that was published on Thursday by the Pew Research Center. And Mel, you and I love the Pew people.
We do.
They're very reliable. They say about 76% of Americans say they have confidence that scientists act in the public's best interest. This is a modest but significant improvement from last year. But it's about 10 points still lower than it was before the pandemic. So that pandemic worried people. They weren't too sure what to think about what was going on. And lots of things have been impacted. Not surprisingly, the respondents were largely split along partisan lines. 67% of Democrats say they believe that scientists should be involved in policy debates. 35% say witch doctors. So those are the Republicans.
And their high school football coach.
Yeah, exactly. Past surveys have shed some light on this divide. During the pandemic, Republicans reported feeling that scientists' personal views bias their policy. And we would never have that when we appoint, like, Dr. Mehmet Oz or something. That's obviously just nothing but pure science. And Democrats are more likely to believe the scientists make judgments based solely on the facts. And, of course, the reality is a little of both. The problem is that, ideally, the scientific community is working as a community to keep an eye on one another and to act as a deliberative community with, you know, very strong structures in place to adjudicate, and collect and evaluate data. But of course, there's also people. So you can always point to this person or that person. They're the greatest thing and
people
the worst thing in the world. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
We got an email at the melonfloydmailbag@gmail.com from Kristen about the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce demolition. He says, "Hey, boys, not surprised that WMC is vacating their current Reichstag. Saw that coming after the final approvals went through for an affordable housing high-rise immediately next door. There goes the neighborhood.
The word affordable just rubs them the wrong way. Just spit in my eye, why don't you? It's not going to be a luxury apartment. Come on. Hey, speaking of scientists, the EU researchers working for the European Union, in particular the Copernicus Climate Change Service, say that 2024 will be the warmest year ever recorded. According to them, they said that it would be the first calendar year in which global temperatures consistently rose 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. It may recall, and our listeners would remember this, that was the temperature threshold the countries agreed to back in the Paris Agreement that the planet should avoid crossing. Oh, we've blown right past that, baby. Greenhouse gas emissions from the burning of fossil fuels are dangerously heating up the planet, according, of course, to many top researchers. A report issued by the United Nations last month found that the world's current climate plans are inadequate, only providing a 2.6% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. And this is just if we follow them, right? The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change said that reduction needs to be an order of magnitude larger. That's at least a 43% reduction by 2030 and a 60% reduction by 2035. And that's probably not going to happen given that wonderful choice that people made in our recent presidential election, among other things.
Got a nice email from Jan and Patrick in Menominee.
Okay.
And they sent us a link to an article on the Kekistocracy. I can never say that word. I should probably learn to say that, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
But it's a little... It's from the Guardian. It's a nice article. But she also says, hang in there and say hi to Clopsy.
Excellent.
And they've got a little quote on the bottom footer of their email. It says, the past is never dead. It's not even past.
Yeah.
That's from William Faulkner.
Faulkner said that, yeah.
Let's see. And this is from Two Wheeled Jerry. Ryan Walters, this is the Oklahoma superintendent of education.
Oh, yeah.
He requires Oklahoma students to watch a prayer video with him praying for Donald Trump. Some schools opt out. Oh, my God.
Again, no shame. I mean, if he had somebody else... You know, here you can see, I don't know, pastor or whatever,
right,
doing that. You might think, all right, well, it's kind of weird, but it's not so obvious,
here,
obviously.
Here I am praying.
Yeah, here I am praying. Hey, speaking of things religious, a lot of people who like pine trees, this is fascinating, actually recently called on the Pope to stay the, this is what they call, quote, stay the execution of a tree towering about 100 feet tall, that's from the northern region of Italy, Trentino, which is, they've made arrangements to have it be adorned with Christmas decorations at St. Peter's Square for the Christmas season. And this group, they're environmental groups, and they really don't think we should be doing this. They're asking that we stop having the pagan sacrifice of fir trees to celebrate the birth of Christ. And, of course, ancient Romans are thought to have decorated their home with evergreen boughs. And in fact, that was typical in early American culture, too, if you look at some of the things that people were doing in this country. Because, of course, they're evergreen. It's a sign of life and
sure,
birth.
Sure.
But the decorated tree concept, of course, only happened starting in the Middle Ages. And of course, everybody does it now in the West. And their point of this group is, could you not do that? And so they basically wrote a nice letter to the Pope saying, could you knock it off? We'll see what the Pope says about that.
The war on Christmas continues.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a pagan holiday.
Oh, let's see what else here. Big tech is using Hollywood movies to train their AI, which is not a good idea.
No, I don't think so.
You shouldn't use. I mean, you shouldn't.
What, disaster movies?
Yeah,
what
are they using? I mean, by its nature, things like that are not normal human interactions. I mean, they're it's drama and it's artificial.
Yeah,
and there's a lot more conflict than in real life. There's a lot more violence, obviously more violence and things like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, people don't interact in people see people interacting in movies and they think that's how you're supposed to interact.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you're not supposed to be that. They're doing that because they want to keep you entertained and they want to keep you know, the dopamine flying in your brain. So they have the couples fight and throw stuff at each other and whatever. But it's not real human interactions.
I learned everything I know from Shakes the Clown.
Yeah.
The Citizen Kane of alcoholic clown movies.
That was good.
That's what I model myself on.
Yeah.
Take that, AI.
So between that and scraping through the horrible, horrible internet message boards,
yeah,
you know, you're going to get an AI that just is going to be so racist and violent and sexist and hateful.
The perfect mirror of humanity.
I learned it from you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It says every child says to their parents.
Scientists find Aztec death whistles.
They had some serious refs in those days. It's the death whistle for you.
You got a penalty. Yeah.
Beat around the bush.
They were clay whistles that resemble a human skull.
Oh, ick.
And they produce a scream-like sound.
Oh.
So they not only were scary,
yeah,
but the timbre or pitch of the whistle would affect human brains. It kind of fired up the part of the brain that increased states of alarm and fear.
Mm.
Scientists investigated the effect of these sounds on modern listeners, finding their ability to elicit negative emotional responses and increased neural activity.
Mm.
So they found that these whistles not only were creepy, but they could affect you on a physical.
Yeah.
Physical.
Kind of like our Prius. Have you ever been in those cars that constantly beeps at you? Like every time you get too near something, it beeps. And
yeah.
Every time you don't put your seatbelt right away, it beeps. And
yeah.
If you get too close to a car, it beeps. And if you cross the line, it beeps.
Yeah.
And I go nuts. I swear to gosh. I rented a car recently to go on a trip, and it was a sedan, and it didn't have beeps in it.
Yeah.
And I loved that car.
Yeah.
I gave it a name. I called it Antoine because it respected me, you know, respected my choices, did not try to get in my face. That's what Antoine would do. I get terrorized by like sound like that.
Yeah,
I really would.
Yeah.
Those death whistles that would definitely.
I could tell it was creeping you out.
Yeah, it's like I can imagine that noise. I think with those, when they have things like that that make noises that stop you from doing things,
yeah,
or draw attention to you, they have a room full of people and then they vary the pitch until they see everybody in the room go, you know, and then they go, that's it.
Yeah. So why do they have different sirens in like Europe? They've got the whoop 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 whoop, and then here we've got the what you know we typically think of.
When
as sirens.
We were in Scotland last summer, I noticed actually that they had regular siren or regular our sirens,
American
sirens.
Style, yeah,
I mean I realize it's these sort of English speaking countries, they kind of are aping us more and more. It's kind of sad, mm-hmm, actually. Are absolutely, you know, completely overwhelming culture.
Yeah.
But yeah, I noticed in Scotland, we were in Edinburgh, they sounded just like regular sirens in the U.S.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on with that.
Archaeologists have found what they think might be the world's oldest alphabet.
Oh,
they in Syria.
Okay,
they were excavating an ancient tomb in Syria,
mm-hmm,
and they found these 4-finger-long clay cylinders, and they got some writings on them. And the researchers think the writings will maybe open the door to brand new questions about the origin of the alphabet. So,
that's an amazing innovation if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because basically, every system of representation before they came up tumbled on that.
Pictures.
Were pictures, yeah. And the pictures were not related at all to the way you said it or anything. So there were two entirely separate means of representing the world. One was in words and one was in pictures. And they didn't necessarily connect with each other, mm-hmm, at those points. And, I mean, that has some... If your language changes a lot, it has some advantages because you still have a solid, you know, representation.
The in pictures? The
written way, yeah. But nonetheless, it's the idea that you just have a finite number of things that you can combine in infinite ways.
Yeah.
That's a real... Whoever tumbled on that, it was a great idea.
Yeah,
really
that's,
was.
That's amazing when you kind of walk it back like that.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
How the hell did they ever think of that?
Well, how did the heck did they ever come up with just like... I mean, how do we come up with language, right? I mean, all these things are quite mysterious.
Yeah, they really are. So.
Hey, you've heard about the mystery blobs? Have you heard about the mystery blobs?
Mystery blobs.
Yep, there's these mystery blobs that have been washing up on the shore off the coast of Canada. This is in south of Newfoundland. They're still being studied by the Environmental and Climate Change Canada group, but their preliminary finding is that they think that as scientists would say, a high degree of confidence in the idea that these strange blobs are they're kind of synthetic rubber, they think. So the blobs are these white,
like in The Prisoner,
sticky stuff. Yeah, I love the blob in The Prisoner.
Oh, me too. It was my favorite.
I'd watch that as a kid, and I'd wave at it. At the end, it would like go off into the distance. Like, bye.
I'd get so excited when the blob would show up. It's like, yay!
Boy, we are both really weird, aren't we? But
he caught him. Yay!
Yeah, exactly. But they have a spongy. These things have a spongy interior. They're sticky. And they range in size from about the size of like a coin or something like that to about the size of a dinner plate. And they've been showing up in Placentia Bay. That's a bad one right there. Since last September. And so their environmental agency's been looking into this up in good old Canada. But they weren't sure exactly what it was. They did a chemical analysis. It contained, apparently it contains these blobs, carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. But not nitrogen or sulfur, which strongly suggested that it didn't have a natural source.
So it's plastic.
Yeah. So they did a mass spectrometric test. And so they were looking at if they could break it up into easier study little bits. But they're still not quite sure, but they're pretty sure it's butylene rubber. According to this one scientist, it's the polymer is the active ingredient in white glue, you know, the kind of glue you eat when you're a kid, right? So this the mixture suggests some. So this is according to the top scientist, some kind of industrial adhesive or some kind of material that can be used in a variety of industrial sectors. So it could have been a building material potentially,
yeah.
And someone spilled it, and it just kind of. You know, made itself into little globettes and has been floating around ever since. So, yay!
Plastics and forever chemicals.
Yeah, you gotta love them.
I only have a headline on this. I don't have an actual story, but I think the headline tells it all. Swiss church uses AI-generated Jesus hologram to hear confession.
Buddy Jesus.
And he looks just like Jesus, so, you know. He looks exactly.
He does not. I'm looking at that picture. That's no Jew looks like that. I'm sorry. That's just what is that
that's
guy?
That's a Swedish tennis player. Yes,
that's a Swedish tennis player. Bjorn would now hear your confession. Okay, great. Glad he's got blue eyes on me, right? Just like Jesus did. Oh, good Lord. Hey, I got a couple of health suggestions.
Okay.
Here's, I love taking hot showers, but I've heard they damage your skin and hair. Did you know that that is true, especially in the wintertime? And listen, I'm living proof because a couple years ago, I made the mistake of taking a hot bath on a very dry winter's day. And it, actually, my skin got very unhappy about it. And for a while, I had some dermatitis issues. So be very careful in the winter. First of all, you know, we probably bathe and shower too much anyway. But secondly, make sure that your shower is lukewarm at best. That's the best way to do it. And if you're British, of course, a cold shower is required. But also make sure that your soap is not got harsh stuff in it, because your skin, you know, it's delicate, and be very careful with it. Another question here is how bad are gas stoves? And not good. apparently, gas stoves do emit a lot of unhealthy things that can. They figure it actually causes about 40,000 having a gas stove, about 40,000 premature deaths each year.
Really?
in the EU and Britain, and the estimate right now is that shaves about if you're looking at it from a statistical point of view, it shaves roughly 2 years off an average person's lifespan.
Oh my goodness!
But of course, you know that and. That in low-flow toilets. I'm sure that
are we going to fix the low-flow toilets?
I'm sure
situation?
The new Trump administration will have lots to say.
They can
about
get right
that.
On that.
Yeah.
So they did hire the big dick toilet guy back though. He was the
acting attorney general for a little while, and he had this business where they sold toilets to well endowed men, so the water level was lower, so you wouldn't
really.
Yeah, I'm not making this up, and so he. I forget what they appointed.
Well, I mean, that's a uniquely American thing. I mean, if you use a toilet in France, for example, there's so little water in there that you have to be very careful about your aim. I'm not making this up. You really have to aim well, or you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be spending a lot of time with that toilet brush. So there are toilets like this already in other societies. It's just because we're so wasteful with water that we don't have that problem.
All right. Well, we got about a minute left. You got anything you want to get in? Or?
Well, we talk more about toilets, I suppose.
Big dick toilet guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I love him.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's gonna be a hard
That's one that
years.
Won't go away, That's no matter how many times you flush.
Hard 4 years.
He just keeps coming back.
Yeah, you bet.
But all right, time to declare. The weekend.
What are you gonna do this weekend?
I don't know, and I haven't looked at the weather, so I don't know what.
I don't know either.
If it's gonna be nice, but I'm feeling pretty good, feeling pretty chipper. So
how's your health?
Good, good. My knee is really good.
It's good,
doing
all
really
right.
well. So
kicked anybody recently?
No, I'm working on it. I got a few candidates.
Excellent.
Anyway, it's funny. My neighbors were walking by one day, and I was out with Clopsy, and I know we got to get out of here, but they walked by and they said, "Hi, Clopsy," and he was like really confused because they listened to the show.
He's famous, so, the famous Clopsy.
All right, thanks for listening. Have a great week, Pants. It's great to see you.
You too, buddy.
It's 2:00. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison. Stick around. The kiosk is next, and then Who Cooks for You with the Real Jaguar. Put the hot pants on.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, November 22nd.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 2006. That was the day mounted police charged 50 janitors and their supporters during a protest in Houston. SEIU's Justice for Janitors campaign had been organizing for years throughout the South and Southwest. Modeled on success achieved in California, SEIU broadened their campaign to Houston and Miami. The union called a month-long strike against the city's largest cleaning companies. Protests and civil disobedience actions continued throughout the strike. Hundreds of strikers routinely marched through the streets of Houston, beating drums and hauling bags of garbage into the middle of intersections to highlight the key services they provided to the city. They were subject to repeated threats of firings and arrests. When police charged at the janitors, it served to turn public support in favor of the strikers. By the end of the month, Tom Babinoff and SEIU Local 1 in Chicago claimed victory for 5,300 Houston janitors. The Chicago local had been central to the three-year campaign in Houston. Incomes doubled and janitors finally had health insurance, paid vacations, and holidays. The Chicago Tribune detailed the campaign.